This is, I want to be clear, this is Pastor Peter's last Sunday here as our family pastor, but this is not Pastor Peter and Deb's last Sunday here. They are transitioning from our family pastor to our missionaries. We are missionaries, and we will be their sending church, and they will still be a part of our family. King's Kids, I think we already dismissed them, but if you didn't go, they can go. So, a while back, I asked both Pastor Peter and Deb what their life verse was. Deb said that she had a number of verses that were important to her, but one that came to mind at that moment was Romans chapter 10, in particular verses 13 through 15. In fact, Pastor Peter has preached just a few weeks ago, a month or so ago, on that passage. And he shared how God used this text at Challenge Youth Conference 2 years ago to awaken within both he and Deb a calling to live sent, to live out the reality that we as Christians are called to live as if we are sent into the world to preach the gospel. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, there's a Bible on the back of the pew in front of you, and it would be on page number 946 of the pew Bible. I'll say this, if you're here this morning and you don't have a Bible, you don't own a Bible, I would just offer that as a gift from us to you. We want you to have a copy of the Word of God. So if you don't have one, that is our gift to you. Paul is the great apostle, missionary, church planner of the New Testament. He's writing to Christians in Rome, and he's writing this book at the end of his third missionary journey. And he's headed on way back to Jerusalem. He's taken a love offering to the Christians in Jerusalem. They've come under great persecution, and there's a famine in Jerusalem. And so he's collected money from the other churches, and he's taking it back to Jerusalem. And he's been tried a number of times to get to Rome. He wanted to go and visit the Christians that were there in Rome, but for one reason or another, he'd been prevented over the years to actually get there. And though Paul, the great missionary church planter, had not yet been to Rome, by this point, there's a large number of Christians in Rome. So if Paul, the missionary church planter, hadn't been to Rome, the question is, how did there come to be so many Christians in Rome? Well, if we look back in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2, we're told what happened on the Feast of Pentecost. Now remember, in the Jewish tradition, there are three pilgrimage feasts that happen every year. This would be, no matter where you were in the world, if you were a Jew, you would try to make at least one of these three pilgrimage where you would come back to Jerusalem and worship at the temple. There was the Feast of the Tabernacle or the Feast of Booth. This was in the fall. It was a harvest festival. It was a time where they remembered when the Israelites lived out in the wilderness for 40 years, sleeping in tents. There's the Passover, which is the celebration of where the death angel passed over them while they were in Egypt, and they were exodus out of Egypt from slavery and bondage into freedom. It was a Passover meal that we celebrated a form of in the communion, because that was established, that Passover meal that Christ shared with his disciples on the night before he was betrayed. 40 days after Passover, or 7 weeks, they celebrated Pentecost. Pentecost was the celebration of, after exiting Egypt, they went into the wilderness, crossed the Red Sea, watched the Egyptian army die, and they were led to Mount Sinai, where Moses went up onto Mount Sinai, and he was given the law, the Torah. And it was given the Ten Commandments. And the Pentecost celebrates and reminds the Jewish people of this. So here we are in Acts chapter 2, 40 days after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus has headed up to, already returned to heaven. And we're told in verse 10 that there were visitors from Rome there in Jerusalem. No doubt some of those visitors from Rome were some of those who were a part of the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost who accepted Christ as their Savior because they heard Peter preach the gospel. It's tough to live up to that, Peter. But these new converts, new believers in Christ, as they returned to Rome, they shared this newfound faith they had. Other believers, no doubt over the years, had migrated to Rome. Rome was, after all, the center of the Roman Empire. It was a magnet that would draw people in from all over the empire. Some were forced to leave, like Jerusalem and other areas, because of persecution. And so they sought place of refuge, and they found that refuge in the city of Rome. Others, like Priscilla and Aquila, the traveling partners of Paul on many occasions, they would go to Rome on business. But whatever the reason they went to Rome, whether returning home or fleeing persecution, or going for business, these new believers shared their faith as they went. From the gospel's perspective, they didn't just happen to go to Rome. They were, in fact, sent to Rome. And they shared their faith. As a sister in Christ, a co-worker of Paul by the name of Phoebe is headed to Rome. We're told in Romans chapter 16 that she's headed. So Paul takes advantage of this opportunity, of this traveling companion of him going to Rome, and writes this letter. He says, now take this to the Christians in Rome. He writes to let them know, first and foremost, that I haven't forgotten you. I've been trying to get there. I know I've been wanting to get there and have been prevented, but I am coming. Little did he know that when he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested, put in prison, and shipped to Rome to stand trial. So he will get to Rome, just not quite the way he thought he was going to do it. Paul also wrote this letter to the Christian Romans to present the complete and detailed statement on the gospel message. He says in Romans 1:15, he was eager to preach the gospel to you in Rome. He wanted to make sure that they understood the gospel. Keep in mind, many of those who traveled to Rome were in fact babes in Christ themselves. They had a very basic understanding of the gospel message and how the gospel would impact every area of their lives. So in the first part of this letter that Paul writes to the churches in Rome, he spells out the righteousness of God and that God is right to condemn us who are unrighteous. We are all unrighteous. We have all sinned and fall short of what God intended for us. But then Paul goes on to explain how through faith in Jesus Christ, the guilt and punishment due us for our sins, our unrighteousness, is transferred onto Christ. And the righteousness of God through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is given to us. In other words, Paul clearly and fully spells out the gospel. Then starting in chapter 6, Paul begins to describe the impact the gospel has on our lives. It's a process we like to call sanctification. It's a theological word for transformation. We are being changed from grace to grace, more and more into the image of Christ. So every area of our lives that was marred and marked by sin, those markings, those stains are being replaced with Christ and his righteousness. We are being sanctified, set apart, transformed from who we were to who we are becoming, so that we can bear the image of Christ and be sent to the world to reflect Christ and His grace and hope the gospel message wherever we go. Our mission at Christ Community Church is knowing, growing, and showing the love of Christ. To live out the gospel in such a way that others see Christ in us. That brings us to our text here in Romans chapter 10. We're going to pick up at verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This calling on the name of the Lord is in reference to everything that Paul has written in the first 9 chapters of Romans. Our guilt, our shame, our inability to save ourselves, coupled with the finished work of Christ on the cross to completely eradicate our guilt, the free gift of God that we can be reconciled with God by faith in His Son and the promise of our restoration through the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. Then he asks these profound questions. Verse 14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in Him whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? Here's the crux of the passage. How will they, those who have not yet believed in Christ, how will they, those who are still enslaved in their sins, how will they, those who will have to suffer the judgment and condemnation of a holy God because of their own sins, how will they who face a Christless eternity apart from the saving grace of Jesus Christ be saved? How will they be saved if they never hear the name of Jesus Christ, the gospel message? Jesus says, there is no other name under heaven by which we may be saved. Do you believe this? Then what will you do with the gospel message? The Romans, as they went home to Rome, shared what they knew with others. The persecuted Christians who fled the persecution in Jerusalem in their homes went to Rome and risked everything to yet again expose that they are believers and followers of Jesus Christ so that they might share what they knew with those around them. Those going to do business in the market took the gospel message with them. Jesus says to His followers and to us in John 20, verse 21, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, even so I am sending you. 2 years ago, Pastor Peter and Deb were with our youth group at the last Challenge Youth Conference. It was there they came to understand the truth in a new way, in a personal challenge, to live a life in light of the gospel message and the truth that God has sent each of us into the world to tell others of Christ. Initially, Pastor Peter and Deb did not know what that was going to look like or where it was going to take them. But they opened their hearts and they opened their hands and said, Lord, lead us and we will go. We will live sent. What would it mean for you? What would it mean for you? What would your life look like if you were to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. You sent your Son into the world to save me. I will go wherever you want to tell others of you. Would God send you to Baltimore? Maybe. Would God send you home to your family and your neighbors? I'd say He'd start there. Would God send you to tomorrow to your job, to those co-workers, to that boss. I bet he'll send you there. Would God send you to the hospital? I'll never forget visiting Chad at Riverside. He's taking chemo for his cancer. He knew that he was not there by accident. For Chad, it was never a question why he had cancer, but understanding that God sent him to Riverside. For Chad, the only question was, for whom did he send him there? So that he could share the gospel while he was there. I can remember taking gospel bracelets to Chad, so that as he's receiving his chemo, he's handing these out. He's sharing the gospel with patients, with residents, with doctors, with nurses. Last week, Pastor Peter was preaching and gave a message. And he was still a living saint, even in that. Where he came to the end of the message and he sensed the Spirit of God putting in his heart to offer an opportunity for those who would pray to receive Christ, to share the gospel message. We have a white rose because he's living sent. Pastor Peter and Deb, it has, you two should be sitting together. This is, it has been a privilege and an honor to be a part of your journey. I gotta get my little box here. Well, on my desk, I have the connection card that you filled out the very first Sunday you visited here. And on it, there's that line that says, how did you hear about Christ Community Church? And I think you put internet and at Ashland Seminary. That was when we posted the position for a part-time youth pastor. It may have been that posting you saw, but there is no doubt in my mind that it was God who sent you to us. And I thank God he did. 7 years. Wow. What a journey we've had together. We began more as a mentor relationship, but over the years we've grown to be truly co-laborers for the cause of Christ in the truest of sense. We've become friends, brothers, sisters in Christ. When you first came, you were almost apologetic for your lack of experience. But I asked you, were you willing to learn? And you've always kept a level of humility and a willingness to learn and to grow. None of us do life or ministry perfectly, but you have been willing to learn from your mistakes, and you've worked to do your best to honor Christ in all that you do. As your senior pastor, I've always known and trusted your loyalty to me and to the leadership. That no matter what, you've got my back. You've earned my trust. I've never doubted that. Your commitment to Christ and his church has been evident in the way you have faithfully served over these past years. Together, you and Deb have forged a lasting impression on Christ's community. Deb, your support for your husband and his ministry is a powerful witness of your own commitment to following Christ. And apart from your involvement in Peter's ministry, you have had your own or more so correctly, should I say, your ministries in your time here. You have given and volunteered in so many ways. I can't even begin to count the countless hours you have given to Christ as you have served this church family. Thank you. Peter and Deb, I thank you both for sharing your journey, your ministry, your love, your friendship with Dana and me, with this church family, with our children and our youth and our community. Thank you for showing us what it means to live sent and to be open and obedient to the Lord's leading. When I asked Pastor Peter what his life verse was, without hesitation, it's Hebrews 6:19, which says, "We have this sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, the hope that enters into the place behind the curtain." May the gospel, the eternal hope, anchor your soul, give you peace, and remain the center of all you do in life and ministry. I charge you to remain committed to proclaiming the gospel in all that you do, wherever you serve, whatever opportunity is put before you. Christ is sending Pastor Peter and Deb, but we, the church family, affirm their calling and send them out. In verse 15, Paul writes this, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" Sent. Not pushed out. Not cut off. Sent with an ongoing support. Much like when the government sends our troops into harm's way. For each soldier on the field, on the front line, there is a whole line of support behind them. Supply lines. We are that supply line of support. We are called to send them, to support them, to encourage them, to pray for them, to support them not only financially but emotionally, to stay in connection with them, to commit ourselves to being there as they need us to be there, to engage and support in their ministry through our prayers, through our commitment, through our friendship. And as we send them out, they are still a part of us. We care for them, for their needs. Paul ends verse 15, which I love this. "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." You guys got pretty feet. Now, I know that sounds a little odd, but think of the messenger who would run from one city to the next to carry a message. Think of those who are lost and dark and weary, thirsty. And that messenger comes with hope and light and grace. They have beautiful feet. And you have beautiful feet because you carry that message of grace and hope. The gospel message. I have three things for you guys that I want to give you. This, I do have my box here. I wrapped this myself. We have traveling mugs because you are going to live sent and you will need to travel. So Deb, yours says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Pastor Peter, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm, secure." So I want to give these to you guys. You might as well just come on up, Deb, because then stay up here.
Let's just stay with you.
And then to make sure that you have pretty feet. This is pretty feet. It's exfoliation cream. This is for you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
We feel prepared.
Yes, we are.
And hands.
But I it's symbolic, and Absolutely. I mean, it's Pretty Feet is a great name for a lotion to keep your feet nice and soft and clean, but to keep yourself ready to carry that message, to take the time to care for yourselves, to care for each other, so that you can carry the message. I'm going to ask our elders, our pastors, our elders, missionary team, those who serve on the missions team, if you would come forward. We want to pray for and charge and send out, not send away, but send out with ongoing, continuous support. In fact, I'm going to ask the congregation, would you please stand? Because as I charge Pastor Peter and Deb to carry the gospel message, I charge us, the body of Christ, the family, that we would send them with that ongoing support, care, and love. Father, most gracious God, we thank you for Pastor Peter and Deb. We thank you for the gift that they have been to this congregation for 7 years. We thank you for hearts that are willing to and open to being obedient to your leading and your calling to be lives that live sent. Lord, may you send them with your peace, with your hope, with an anchor for their soul, that the gospel may exude and shine through them, that the work of the gospel in them may be evident through them to the world around them, that you would give them great opportunities ahead to share the gospel as they serve and are obedient to you. I pray for us, this congregation, Lord, that we would remain faithful to support and encourage and strengthen and pray for them, that we would continue to stay as brothers and sisters in Christ, united with Christ the head, one body, Lord, that as we have been sent, as you have sent the Son, you have sent us, and now we send them. We pray this, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Thank you. Maybe